The persecuted church. You heard Shauna mention that this morning, and I prayed just a little bit. And this morning at the end of our service, we're going to form a circle, and I'm going to invite you to spend some time and pray for the church around the world. The stories that we see in the news today remind us that all around the world are people that are suffering, many of them suffering at the hands of religious fanaticals and those that that believe something in some direction and brutalize and persecute people who don't believe what they do. Certainly, religious people have been some of the most atrocious, if that's the right word, persecutors in the history of our world. And this morning, I want for us to focus on the words of Jesus about persecution. And I'm going to talk about some persecution stories, and we're going to watch a video from Voice of the Martyrs in a few minutes about persecution around the world. I don't think, and maybe other people have said the same thing in their generation, but it seems to me, my knowledge of history and at least what I read and hear, that I've never known a period in time in the history of the world, certainly it seems that way to me at least, where I've been more aware of persecution around the world of people of all kinds of different religions, and especially of Christianity. In the day that we live in of the Islamic rise and the fanaticism that exists especially, but then when I think back over situations in our world since I've been an adult and read about over time, I just can count many, many places and countries where persecution is very strong. Maybe because we have the news so much easier than past generations, it's so accessible to us in our world of communication that we're more aware of what's happening around the world. But all you have to do is watch TV at night or open up a newspaper and read about what's going on and the persecution that exists against the Christian church and other groups as well around the world. Next Sunday is kind of the annual chosen Sunday for the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians. And I wanted for us today to focus on the persecuted church. And so we're kind of doing that. But Christians from, I'm sure, all over the world, next Sunday especially, will be focusing on the persecuted church and praying for the church. Today I want us to hear some things about persecution and about the church around the world, but also to pray for the persecuted church and to spend some time, and going to invite you to take home with you today a card with the name of one country on it where people are being persecuted. I was thinking probably right now this morning on represented on these countries of these cards that you're going to be receive a little bit later in the service, there's going to be people, men and women, young and old, teenagers, children, adults, who are suffering because they take a stand for Jesus. And I want us today to pray for the church. The book of Hebrews chapter 13 tells us, remember those who are in prison. Remember those that are in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. We're told in the scriptures that we are to remember people that are hurting because of their faith. We're to remember people who are going through difficult times and living in the country that we do and having so much that we do have and so many blessings and so many things that we don't deal with on a day-to-day basis. When we read the stories of people that are persecuted in these countries, it just seems like such a far world away. But the reality is that God knew what would be going on in the 21st century. And He tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, that we are to remember those that are in prison, remember those that are being persecuted, remember those that are mistreated, remember those that are suffering. Men and women all around the world this very moment who are suffering. And God calls His family, God calls us as the church to remember them and to pray for them. And so today I want us to remember the persecuted church around the world. Jesus actually said many things about persecution. He talked about persecution a lot, especially in the context of who He was and His followers. He knew that His followers would be persecuted. He was persecuted. And He knew that anyone who picked up their cross to follow Him and follow Jesus as His disciple would be persecuted. And He said that many times. He knew that persecution would be a part of the spread of the church. He knew that persecution would be a part of governments and a part of cultures, and he knew that there would be people in every generation, in every century who would be persecuted. And so some of the things that Jesus said about persecution are very dire warnings. And we read the words of Jesus and we think, oh, wow, that's not real exciting to hear what he said. But he warned his disciples that you too will be persecuted. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read several things that Jesus said about persecution and about what he said about what would happen to his followers, what would happen to those that follow Jesus. And I tell you, it's a lot different than that kind of expression or theology out there that if you become a Christian, God's going to take away any problems that you have. It's not that way at all. Matthew chapter 5, looking at verse 11, Jesus talks about persecution, and we're going to look at several things Jesus said, but Matthew 5, verse 11 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You know, there's a lot of things that Jesus said that to me are very perplexing. There's a lot of things. I have a book on my shelf in my office that says the difficult sayings of Jesus. And in that book, it has a list of things that Jesus said that when we read, we really have to stop and think about, why is he saying that to us? And what is the depth of what he is saying? And what Jesus says about persecution is one of them. These are called the end. The last few things that I read here are part of what's called the Beatitudes. The attitudes that Jesus gives us that he wants for his disciples. And among the perplexing things that Jesus said is that blessed are you when you're persecuted. I mean, it's hard to understand how we can be blessed when we're persecuted. When I'm reading the stories of what people are going through around the world, I think, well, how could they be blessed? But Jesus gives us that word, blessed are those that are persecuted. Blessed are you that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. He gives the blessing for the peacemakers, and then he gives the blessing for the other side, that there will be persecution. And I know that it's coming to you, and I want you to know that I will be with you, and I will bless you, and you will not be alone. The kind of attitude that God wants for people that are persecuted is uniquely found here, as Jesus tells us the kind of heart and attitude that he has and he sees to those that walk the path of following him as his disciples. He closes this list of attitudes with these words about persecution. I guess one thing we could say about persecution in the world is that it is an absolute reality for those that follow Jesus. There's been a straight line of history, a persecution from the very earliest days of the church up until today. When you study history, when you study church history, if you enjoy studying and reading about the church in different centuries, you will see and you will know that from every decade of the Christian church, from the moment Jesus said these words, are stories of persecution. Sometimes they're far more intense than others. Sometimes it's more the kind of the backdoor persecution of economic and people not being allowed to have certain things and have jobs. And sometimes the persecution seems lighter than others. Other times people are running for their lives constantly when they stand up for their faith in Christ. But there is a straight line of persecution in the history of the world from the earliest days of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5 through every generation and every century. We could just choose a century out of the last 2,000 years, and if you study it, you'll find places in the world, countries and cultures that especially are persecuting Christians. Persecution has always been a part of spiritual warfare. It's a part of the battle between good and evil, between Satan and between God, that goes on within the human heart. Somewhere persecution is maybe you could describe it as that place where truth meets deception and the conflicts rise up, the conflicts within the human heart who refuses to accept the authority of God. Hatred has many forms. Persecution is one of them, against people who are different than we are. Persecution takes the place when we have an attitude that because people are different, they're less valued to God, and And especially for believers of various faiths, again to emphasize today that persecution takes place against all kinds of religious people. But especially in the Christian church today, we look at some of the areas of persecution that are so strong. There have been so many atrocities in my lifetime as graduated from high school in 1979 and remember in high school and in the 1980s and reading about some of the things going on around the world and just not being able to believe that human beings can act like this, but I read stories of Cambodia, and if you're old enough or you've studied the history, just the carnage and the death and all the things that happened. And then there was Bosnia and Rwanda, and if you remember back 20 to 30 years ago, those names will mean something to you, but people who were slaughtered because of their faith. You've read stories about communism in China and Russia, the former Soviet Union, and today in North Korea, that's supposed to be the most unsafe country in the world to be a Christian today, is the country of North Korea. And more recently in Egypt and Syria and Iran and Iraq. And the list is long. If you just get on the internet and you want to see what's going on around the world against Christians, get on the internet and just put in the search engine about persecution of Christians and you'll find story after story after story after story of people who are being brutalized and marginalized and many of them that are being separated from their families, and children that are taken out of homes and forced into slavery and prostitution. And the list is long of the barbarity of humanity against people of faith, the hatred and the violence against humanity. You know, when I'm here in my nice Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania home and this church and around such kind people and live under a government that's got many, many problems and they're getting worse, and who knows what it's going to be like here in 10 or 15 years, but I want to say to the church, we have a lot to be thankful for, and we need to remember that. We need to be thankful for what God's allowed and remember that there are people all around the world that, even though sometimes we know there's a lot of problems and we can voice the problems and we can say the things that we don't like about our government and our country, we ought to be reminded how good we have it sometimes and how much that we have, and that we don't take that for granted and allow an attitude inside of us that doesn't look out and see the pain and the hurt and the suffering of people in our world around us. Jesus said that persecution against Christians, against his followers, would be intense, and they were in the early church. They were all the disciples that followed Jesus, of the 11 that remained after Judas had betrayed Jesus. All of them heard the words of Jesus here about persecution in other places, and all of them were persecuted. All of them were put to death because they took a stand for Christ. And the reality is, there's people all around the world this morning, even today, even right now, whatever time zone they're in, that are facing persecution. They're facing martyrdom. They're facing that question of the iron fist and the stick to say, do you believe in Jesus? And depending on their answer will determine whether they're brutally beaten and their lives will be taken. Well, Jesus' disciples would know that Jesus told them that there would be persecution. Listen to the words in John chapter 16, in this earliest words of things that Jesus said, or John chapter 16, he says, all this I have told you so that you do not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you thinks he is offering a service to God. Now, this is the context is the first century. It's the context of the Jewish persecution that Jesus said. He said, I want you to know that if you take a stand for me, they're going to put you out of the synagogue. You think, well, that's not us. But wherever we're at, people are being put out and put away and martyred for their faith. And so that was so real. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that you will remember that I warned you. Again, these are the words for Jesus in the first century, but they're so real today. People who are persecuting others in the name of God because they believe in their God, in Allah, or whatever God that they are, gods that they serve, they believe that God wants them to persecute and to kill other people. And Jesus warned the world and warned his disciples about that. Jesus also would say some very strong words about carrying our cross and telling every one of us as Christians that unless we're willing to to carry our cross, to take up our cross and follow Him. We're not worthy of Him. And in our culture and in our country, that may seem a little bit different than people that are out there. And when they pick up their cross and they proclaim their faith, how quickly their lives can change and how much they give up in order to be a Christian. I think in some ways, you know, at least that's how I feel about me. I don't have to give up that much to be a Christian. In fact, I can kind of be a cultural Christian and fit right in. Although it's getting more difficult and things are changing. But Jesus said that we are to take up our cross and to follow Him. All throughout church history, Christians have been attacked and imprisoned and brutalized and many put to death because of their faith in Jesus. You just think back to the earliest days of the church. You think of a man named Stephen who was the first martyr of the church and how he was stoned to death because of his faith. And Stephen kind of represents the beginning. Go on to that next slide, would you please, Nate? Stephen represents that first Christian martyr who stood up for his faith. And then they took him outside the city of Jerusalem and they began to throw rocks at him. And Stephen becomes kind of that first example of those that would give their lives because of faith in Jesus, and then the disciples were to follow. And then in early church history, you have the Christians that were killed during the Roman persecution. You had first the Jewish persecution and Stephen and others, and then you had the Roman persecution and how Christianity was outlawed and it was not legal to be a Christian in much of the Roman Empire. Some places it was extremely unsafe to be Christians, and others they were tolerated. But you've heard the stories of the Christians in Rome and the crucifixion and the being thrown to the lions and all the ways that the Roman go on to that next slide, please. The Roman government oppressed Christianity, and there was said to be the road along one of the Roman highways where they, for 30 miles, crosses have been put up to put Christians to death. And sometimes some people know those stories and we get bits and pieces of them, but the reason I bring that up today is just to illustrate that from the very beginning, persecution of Christians has taken place. And so the words that say remember them, remember those that are imprisoned and mistreated. God does want us to be aware of what is happening to people out there. And then throughout church history, throughout the Middle Ages, throughout the Reformation, people burned at the stake, and especially in the during the Reformation period, not just to Christians, but all manner of evil were brought against people of faith, Christian faith. And throughout the Middle Ages, there's story after story of those that stood up for their faith, those that wanted to translate the Bible into the everyday language of people, and those that stood up against other religious oppression, even within the church, and were persecuted because of that. I think of the stories of Jewish persecution and many other people of faith, and how throughout time and political savagery that's been a part of the history of the world because of the sin in the heart of man. And then we come to the 20th century and the 21st century into our century, and the unspeakable tortures and horrors that we've been hearing about recently in the news and about those that have stood up for their faith and have given their lives. I know it's brutal and it's painful and it's very hard to know how to talk about it, but as Christians, God calls us to remember and to pray for those. We had a missionary in our church about 4 years ago from Somalia, and he was 2 of 14 people in his church who were not murdered, had to flee for his life, and some of you were here when he came, and some of the stories that he talked about, it just brought to reality what it's really like in these countries. That for us, we just read it on the reports, but somehow God calls us to remember them. Somehow God calls us to pray for those that are being persecuted. Certainly martyrdom is the very far end of it, but for the hundreds of thousands of Christians out there who live in areas where, because they're Christian, they're humiliated and separated from families, and they live in poverty, and they're beaten, and the stories are endless. If you just go on the internet, you just find story after story, and somehow I keep coming back to this verse. We're told to remember those and pray for them. In John chapter 15, verse 20, Jesus said, "Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." These straight from the heart of Jesus, from the heart of God. Remember the words. Jesus said, remember this, that if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you as well. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 is another place that very frankly, very, very directly, candidly, the writer of this Apostle Paul wrote these words, a man who had been persecuted much. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Something about this verse, as the one in the book of Hebrews, that kind of grips me. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I'm wondering, God, what's that mean for me? What does that mean in my culture? What does it mean in my American context? Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It gives me a lot to think about. How am I to stand up for Jesus in my world? How am I willing to be counted? How am I willing to take up my cross and follow Him, follow Jesus? Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I do know, and I do believe, I believe very deeply that persecution shifts around from country to country and regime to regime and religious fanaticism and different groups. And I don't know what's going to happen in our country, but I certainly think in my lifetime, and probably, I think, obviously nobody knows, but I would just say to our young people here, I hope, I think that that fierce persecution could come to our country and to our world in your lifetime. And I pray that God would help you to have His heart and know the words of Jesus so that you would be able and willing to stand up for what's right. There are young people today, and I read some stories this week. I read some heartbreaking stories that were so painful that I thought about bringing some of them, but I didn't this morning, of young people, teenagers, your age, right here, who are standing up for their faith in some places and the amazing price that they've been paying. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know quite what to say about it, but to know that God can help us to hold true to Him no matter what when we seek His Spirit. We're going to watch a 5-minute video of one story from Voice of the Martyrs. And soon after that, we're going to pray together for the persecuted church. I've read different statistics, but I read that last year it's estimated that 105,000 people were killed because of their Christian faith. Not directly, but many in Syria and other places where there's the extermination of thousands of people in towns and villages. And I don't know where that number comes from, but I read 105,000 Christians who have lost their lives in the last year. No wonder we're told to remember them and pray for them. Here's one face and one name of a family in Syria. I want to invite you to watch this story, and then in just a few minutes we're going to pray together.
We were praying for revival, believing God would do a big work in Syria. Then the war came. Now the terrorists are attacking Christian homes, churches, and even our children. Their goal is to empty Syria of its Christians. We hate the spirit of Islam that is destroying our country, but we love our Muslim neighbors. They come to us and say, "In the name of our God, terrorists rape and kill. Where is God?" We tell them about Jesus, and many are coming to know Him. Still others say, "We are like living in hell." One day, while I was praying, I asked God what he would have me do to be his witness. But he only asked me, "Will you give me your life?" As I prayed, I understood he wanted all of me. And I said yes. If the time came, I was willing to die for Jesus. The next day, while I was praying, I asked God again what he would have me do. This time, he asked me, "Are you willing to give me your husband's life?" It is not easy to be ready to die. My husband and I prayed about this together. We said yes to God. The third day was the most difficult. On this day, God asked me if I was willing to give up my children's lives. The terrorists know who we are and that we share Jesus with Muslims. It is not safe for our family. My husband and I prayed and fasted, and together we agreed. God gave us our precious children. He has the freedom to take them back. When we agreed to put our children on the altar, I knew I had to tell them the truth. I told them that it was possible that men with swords may come through our door, men who didn't know Jesus. They may say bad things to us and try to force us to convert to Islam. But no matter what they say, we should not answer them. We should only tell them that Jesus loves them and that we forgive them. I told them that we might see some blood and have some pain, but it would only be for a little while. That we should just close our eyes. And when we open them, we will be with Jesus. Am I a good mother? Do you have to tell my children such things? I also told them that as long as God wants us to be safe, we will be safe, that He is in control. Even during the bloodshed, during the killing, He is carrying our future. This is what it means to be a Christian in Syria.
There is so much to pray for in our world. Somehow God wants us to pray and intercede for those that are hurting. I want to say four things about how we can pray. When I was in India a couple years ago, I had an opportunity to visit a lot of pastors. Some of them had been beaten many times. And I would ask the question when I had an opportunity, how can we pray for you? And it seems like almost every one of them, their response was something like this. Pray for boldness, that I can proclaim the gospel. was never about broken bones. It's about boldness. How can we pray for the church? Pray for boldness. Pray for those that are suffering, of which the stories are endless. Pray for justice in a broken world that only can be fixed by the power of the cross. And I encourage you also to pray for those that choose Christ, especially in times of persecution and areas of persecution. I'm reminded of the cost that many pay in these countries just to say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. And maybe lastly, I would say, as we pray, let's pray that God would help us to be faithful in our context and where we're at, that we're not afraid. We're not afraid to stand up for Christ. Remembering the words of Jesus, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Let's pray for the persecuted church today.